So we have these beautiful reflections today. We have the Samaritan woman last week, the blind man this Sunday, and then on next Sunday, Lazarus. And that's the three great scriptures for our Lenten season. I don't know if any of you have ever had any eye trouble or any struggle with that in relationship to family. And but about 2 years ago, I went to Dr. Shannon, my eye physician, and he said to me at the end of my exam for the first time, I see a little shadow in your x-ray or whatever they do. And I said, well, you know, I'm 70 years of age. I should probably have a shadow or two. Parts wear out. And he said to me, well, yeah, but it might be the beginning of macular degeneration. So I said, oh, my God, you know, you get all these thoughts in your head. So I immediately leapt to the day I was blind. You know how that goes for all of us. Maybe not for all of you, but it does for me. So I went to, I took some eye caps and a variety of things, and I went to Dr. Nathaniel Roybal, who's in our communities at this Mass, and he does research at UCLA on that very area of macular degeneration, and he assured me that he would make sure that I would never go blind. So that was, you know, I felt a little better after that, and that the research and all that was being done would certainly progress and the things that he told me to do, sunglasses and eye caps and all that, would make it better. Well, I then had great confidence, and so when I went back next year, it was exactly the same, so there was no growth. So that's good news. But it was the first little brush that I ever had with the thought of maybe someday not being able to see. And I think for all of us, you know, we take it for granted, but I don't know about you. I think, you know, if I were to go mute, that probably would be a great celebration here at St. Monica's. If I lost my hearing, I suppose I could, you know, do my best. But sight seems to me to be so important. As a matter of fact, I oftentimes say, you know, to people, I see, you know, but I'm not seeing. I have a whole understanding. So it's really that. It's the physical condition of seeing, for sure, which we treasure, hold, keep. So many folks that we know who maybe are losing sight or can't see, the great tragedy of that in life and all those things that surround that. But I think we often attach to the word sight, seeing, more than just the physical thing. It's the way in which we look at life, the way in which we look at each other, the way in which we perceive things. So it isn't just I see, meaning I see, but it means I see, meaning all of the things that come to us in our lives. And so I remember this story so well, and I present it once again because I saw something on CNN this morning. Let me see if I wrote it down. Some woman, I don't know who she was. Frederica, does anyone know who Frederica was? Maybe that's the full name, I don't know. She's written a book entitled Coming from a Place of Yes. And she was talking about physical health and how we look at life. And it reminded me of this fella that I met on the beach some while back. And an early morning ride, 4:30 in the morning, and I was riding along. And I greet people in the morning. Most of the time I get a grunt or something, but on this ride, this day, he was coming up from one side of the ocean, on the ocean side, and I said to him, good morning, and he was on his feet walking, and he just looked at me, he stared at me as I was riding by, and he just said, no! Well, I kept going because I didn't know what else was coming, you know? But it struck me at that moment, you know, how we look at the day. You know, I think there are a lot of people that look at the day with a no. That's the sight of their day. That's how they enter the day. Or we can look at the day with a yes. And as a result of that, find life to be, I think, well, you know, we have to confront things, but worthy of our attention. And with some hope that we can resolve some of the issues that we face and that we can deal with the things that happen in a day. And I suppose there's the ebb and flow of that. It isn't always a yes and always a no. Thank God, not always a no. But I'm sure there are days when that creeps into our life. And it is about vision. And it is about blindness, and it is about the inability to see this incredible gift of our God in all the experiences of our life. And so last week, I begged you to consider this week that companion, that presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our personal Lord, as our personal Savior, and that He's with us every step of the way. And if that is the case, if Christ becomes that companion to us each day, then we can face the day and face the struggles, and our day quite possibly will begin with a yes. But this gospel today has its own very unique message that's beyond sight and beyond, I think, the attitude of and that relationship of Christ. And I'd like to recommend two books to you for this Lenten time, both in our bookstore. One by Richard Rohr, entitled Wondrous Encounters, Scripture for Lent. And I had missed this little reflection until almost this week. And it struck me about this particular reflection that made some sense to me. He says, the man born blind is an archetype for all of us at the beginning of life's journey. I think that's true. As we begin life, we begin to look at things in sort of a darkness, and we grow in that. And so our lives then become hopefully a little bit more enlightened as we move along in life. The other thing he says, moral blame game as to why or who caused human suffering is a waste of time. The Pharisees said to this guy, was it the sin of your mother or your father, or was it your sin that caused you to be born blind? That's a waste of time. I mean, getting into what the cause is of the things that happen to us in this life. You know, that book, Good Things or Bad Things Happen to Good People, all that stuff that goes on trying to look for reason and blaming for things that happen to us. It's a waste of time. Nothing good comes from that. And there certainly is no surety of any of that. But this is the note that struck me most about Rollheiser. He said, religious authorities, here I am, religious authorities are often more concerned about control and correct theology than actually healing people. They are presented as narrow and unloving people throughout that story. I often wonder about that. You know, I disdain the Pharisee in the scripture, but am I not at times a Pharisee myself? Am I more concerned about the law? Am I more concerned about what is right than I am about the person that is in front of me? And that's what I would like to share with you tonight. This Pharisee, or these Pharisees, say to this poor blind man, you know that this person, who was it that healed you? He said, well, I'm not sure. It's this person called Jesus. Well, what do you think of him? And the blind man says, well, he's a prophet. He must be someone incredibly good because I was blind and now I see. And the Pharisees look at him and say this. Listen to this, folks. They say, how could you sit there and say that this man is a prophet, even if he heals your blindness? Because he's doing something against the Mosaic law. He's healing on a Sunday. On Saturday, on a Sabbath. How could he be good if he's doing something contrary to the law? What do you think about that? You shake your head. Does it make sense? And yet I think in some ways that's either what we hear, maybe sometimes what we believe, or maybe I, as your pastors, respond. Maybe not in such clear terms as someone who was healed on the Sabbath, and so shame on you, but in that kind of feeling, in that attitude. So this Tuesday, I went to a funeral of an extraordinary priest who I knew, Michael Lenihan. Michael Lenihan was 86 years of age. He had retired from St. Lawrence Martyr Parish 10 years ago. He waited until he was 76 because it was 50th anniversary, and then he retired. And for the last 10 years, he lived at St. Lawrence Martyr, but he was no longer the pastor. Father Paul, Monsignor Paul Dotson, became the pastor of that community. And I got to tell you, after 10 years absent from the scene, I would imagine, I thought, you know, there'd be some folks there for his funeral, you know, the way we were, looking to the past. So I got to the church, and I couldn't get into the parking lot. Now, that's not anything too serious because the parking lot is almost as bad as ours. But there it was. Couldn't get in. So I went down to one of the alphabet letters of the streets down there. I think like G, H, I. And I parked it like J. So I was like about 4.5 blocks away. And I got there at 10:15 for the 11 o'clock service. I'm like you, trying to get in here, you know, 5 o'clock before 5:30. And I got there, and I couldn't get in. I couldn't park. So I parked down there. I said, what else? There must be something else going on here today, you know? So I walked up to the church, vested, and I went into that church. And that church was jammed. The church holds 1,000 people, bigger than this church. Jammed with people. They were outside on the porch. They were out on the steps. They were out on the side. They were up in the choir loft. They were everywhere. And Monsignor Conley, who was my best friend, and I were walking in the procession with a bunch of priests, and we turned and looked at each other and said, "That's this Sunday's gospel." Here's a man who at 76 years of age, retired, left. But he said to himself, "What can I still do to contribute to make this world a little better place?" And so somewhere in his thinking, Michael Lenihan, because he was a pastor, but he'd also studied canon law, you know, a lawyer, ta-da, he said, "There must be something in this world that I can do." So he put out a shingle, not physically, but said, and he got thousands and thousands of cases, marriage cases, coming to him. Cases that no other pastor would touch. Cases that were as tough as nails to figure out. Cases that looked like they were impossible. Mike Lenihan got those cases. And in some way, he always, always was able to reconcile people to our church. Somehow this man had some ability to figure out how this will work, whether he went to our tribunal or to one of the Uniate tribunals, the Greek or the Armenian, however he found his way, he was able to take the time and the energy, taking the law, not disrespecting the law, but going beyond the law. And when his pastor now, Paul Dotson, got up, he said Mike Lenihan had one mantra all of his life. Four letters, one word, care. And I thought to myself, wow, what an example. And so, my brothers and sisters, I don't know how that matches your life. And I apologize that I'm talking and looking from the perspective of an old man about another old man, and you're so young. But I hope it has some meaning in your life. That when things come up against you, and they look like one thing, they look like irresolvable or contrary to what our thinking is, or in some way different than what we would hope or expect or want, or not according to the law. That while we honor it, we never, never, never lose sight that ultimately and finally, it's about love. It's about care. It's about healing. That's the view that I want to die with. That's the view I hope that you and I share as a people at St. Monica's. Of course we're people of the law. God has given us this great tradition. But never, never at the expense of the hearts and minds and love of each other. So I end with a beautiful little word from my good friend, Sister Edith Prendergast, my best friend, in her little book, Grace Abounds. She speaks about this great lesson of the blind man. And she quotes a journalist, Anna Quindlen, who says, "I found one of my best teachers at Coney Island." Isn't that nice? Love to find a great teacher at Coney Island. "It was December, and I was doing a story about how the homeless suffer in winter months. He and I sat at the edge of the wooden supports, dangling our feet over the side, and he told me his schedule: panhandling the boulevard, sleeping in a church when the temperature was below freezing. But he told me most of his time he stayed on the boardwalk, facing the water. And I asked him, this homeless man, why? He stared at the ocean, fixed, and said, 'Look at that view, young lady. Look at that view.'" Words of wisdom from a man without a dime in his pocket and nowhere to go and no place to be. Look at the view. I hope that in some tiny little way, this liturgy tonight will adjust a little of that view. Never, never at the cost of love. So let our morning this week be a yes instead of a no. Amen.